Hi folks, Bob Main here with another episode of today's survival show, helping you harness the power of choice to live life the way you want to live it on your own terms. And as Teddy Roosevelt once said, do what you can with what you have wherever you are. Thank you for listening to another episode. This is episode number 52, to be exact. It's Monday, December the 28th, 2009. Christmas is behind us once and for all. And as we look forward to a new year and we set new goals and we have a new attitude and a new enthusiasm about what is to come, I want to share with you a show today that is going to wrap up 2009 and set the stage for what you can expect from this show in 2010. I want to let you know that I'm bringing you this show while I'm in my vehicle, taking advantage of some windshield time, heading on a business trip. I'm working this week. I know there's a lot of people that are on vacation, but I'm working hard this week. I'm working Monday through Thursday. I'm trying to wrap up some of this year's business. There's still a few things, sales out there that I think I can close. For some of you who don't know, I'm in sales, and every little bit counts, especially during today's economy. And so I'm on a two-day business trip. I'm headed down to San Antonio, Texas. And for those of you who might be listening for the first time, or maybe this is, you know, your second or third show, and you're not quite sure who I am and where I come from and so forth, I live in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. That's what I call home. I'm a Yankee by birth, but been in the Dallas-Fort Worth area since 1993. I cover the whole state of Texas and Oklahoma for my job. So I am driving down to San Antonio, going to make an overnight stop in Austin. So I figure, since it's actually the evening time when I'm recording this, and I've got a little bit extra time and windshield time, I'm going to bring you this episode. Sometimes I'm producing these from the comfort of my home office, and sometimes I'm on the road. So thanks again for listening. So if there's a little bit of background noise, now you'll know what it's from. And this show is not really going to have a major topic. It's going to be kind of a mixed bag of topics. But the primary subject of this show is you. You, the listener. I was trying to think of what kind of a show I could do to wrap up 2009. And as many of you may know, this is a relatively young show. Just started doing these podcasts on the 3rd of August. And the co-founder of today's survival show, Randy Croft, my good friend, has been a major contributor to this show. And as I mentioned before, you may not hear him on this microphone, but he is a major contributor to the subject matter that I talk about. Today's show, though, I pretty much came up with on my own. And as I was thinking about how do I wrap up 2009, since really we just started a little ways past the halfway point, I figured there could be nothing better that I could do than to pay a tribute to all of you who listen to this show, who get on the forum and put some excellent posts. We just had a couple of new members in the last couple of days join the forum. So if you're not a member of our forum, go to todayssurvival.com/forum or to the main website, todayssurvival.com. And click on the forum link, and it'll get you where you need to go. When like-minded individuals get together and they discuss openly on a forum some ideas, a lot of really good learning takes place. And we even have a very active chat room. Just the other night, we had 11 people chatting all at once. And, you know, one of our members by the screen name of M. Barnattle, thanks, M. Barnattle, you know, he talked me into several weeks ago into setting up a chat room. And I really have, before that, had never participated in chat rooms before. I really didn't think that they had much use. I just didn't think they were a good learning atmosphere. I was wrong. And so, I thank M. Barnattle for that. I've learned so much in being in the chat room, and ours is a practical one. And we try to keep the posers out, we try to keep the people out who are not serious, and so far haven't had too many of those. And I think you're going to learn a lot. So when you get on, I've changed the default theme to the forum now. When you log on to todayssurvival.com/forum, you should see a button there that says chat. You do have to become a member of our forum, however, to chat. But I would strongly encourage that you do that. But again, this show is about you. And so I'm going to talk about some posts that have been made recently by members of our forum that I think are just excellent. They make some very good points about practical information. And, you know, if you are relatively new to this show, I want you to know you've tuned into a voice of reason. This is a practical show. We make survival simple, not extreme. And I've been saying that in almost every show. And I've received a lot of compliments lately about how practical and non-extreme and non-radical this show is. And I intend for 2010, folks, to keep it that way. That is the overall overriding theme of today's survival show, is that we talk about what it is you need to do today. What is practical? What makes sense? You know, my mentor taught me a long time ago when I was in the training business. You know, you've heard me talk about Tom Hopkins quite a bit. And he's my mentor, one of them anyway. He taught me that things had to be practical, they had to be simple, and they had to be things that made sense, and they had to be ideas that people wanted to do. And I've looked at a lot of extreme survival websites and extreme survival blogs and so forth, and I look at some of that and I go, you know, I just don't want to do that. And so therefore, I lost interest relatively quickly. So for those of you who have been putting comments out there about this show being practical, thank you. Thank you for the reinforcement that I need, because I think that's what's going to attract people. It's got to be common sense, and it's got to pertain to everyday's life. So we teach you how to thrive today so that you can survive tomorrow, hence the name, Today's Survival Show. So as I do this about you, the listener, I'm going to actually read to you some posts, and I'm going to do some paraphrasing and inject some of my own ideas, but I'm going to read to you some posts by some of you, the listeners. And I also want to let you know that I'm going to go to a little bit of a different format on this show in 2010. I had played around several weeks ago with the idea of going to just a weekly show, doing this once a week, and making it hard-hitting, full of different audio clips from different people, and doing some interviews and things like that. I got off of that idea for a while, and got back to doing two or three shows a week. Well, over the Christmas holiday, I had a chance to do some pondering and do some thinking. And I've decided that going to a weekly show probably is going to be the right thing to do. Not just for you, the listener, but also for me, the producer. It's going to give me time to do a lot of good research, to find a lot of really good audio clips from very knowledgeable people, and it's also going to give me time to set up interviews properly. I do plan on interviewing members of our forum. I plan on interviewing a lot of different experts in survival and self-defense and preparedness. So doing these once a week is going to give me a chance to set those up, to meet other people's schedules, to actually make those phone calls, get those recorded, and then mix them all together using a program that I use called Audacity, which is an excellent editing program, and putting it all together and bringing it into a good format. So probably every Tuesday or Wednesday, you're going to get a show from me. And since I'm talking about weekly shows, I also want to let you know, for those of you who may not be aware, I also do another podcast called The Handgun World Show. And I entitle that, Why Do I Carry a Gun? Because I Can't Carry a Cop. And some of you who are members of our forum actually found out about this show through the Handgun World Show. And some of you might be thinking, well, why do you do it that way? Why do you separate the two, Bob? It's because I've realized that being preparedness-minded and being a modern survivalist is not only about guns and ammunition. I love to shoot, and I really believe that self-defense is an extremely vital preparation. Extremely vital, but that's not everything. You've got to do more than just lots of guns and lots of ammo. Again, I'm not putting down people that are firearms enthusiasts, because I'm one of them. But I've realized that things like paying off debt and storing food and storing water and first aid training and preparing an emergency kit, things like that, being more well-rounded is the key. However, if you like to talk firearms, if you like to listen to ideas about firearms and how to shoot them, how to own them, how to maintain them, different reviews, gun laws, things like that, I invite you to also listen to my show at handgunworld.com. And you can also find it on iTunes. Search Handgun World Show. I've done 21 episodes, and I've got some good compliments and a little bit of criticism on that show as well, and I've received my share of criticism on this show. But I want to say, I love it. I love it, folks. You know, I got to admit, in 2009, there were times that I wanted to quit this show. I'm serious. I wanted to quit doing both of these. Some of you who know me, you know what I'm talking about. Some of the criticism was just getting over the top and too much, and it was unfair, some of it. But I realized something that my mentor, Tom Hopkins, taught me years ago, and this applies to survival and preparedness. You just can't quit. And the old saying that you can please some of the people all the time and all the people some of the time, but you can't please everybody all the time, that is just so true. And you got to have a thick skin when you do something like this. This is a hobby, folks. It's a hobby for me. I do not intend to make a living at this. If all of you quit listening to me tomorrow, I would chalk this up as a marvelous learning experience. And folks, I do this show just as much for me as I do for you. I know that might sound selfish, and I really hope it doesn't come on you as a selfish gesture. But I learn so much from doing this. Putting in the research and reading the posts that you people put on the forum and the comments that you put on the blog, I love the criticism, positive or negative, because I learn so much and it keeps me sharp. I would think I'm doing something wrong if I don't get any criticism. So if you don't agree with something on this show or you want to send me some criticism, by all means, I love it, because I look at it as one thing and one thing only. It's a way that I can improve the show. It also means, if I'm getting criticism, folks, it also means that I'm getting some listeners, right? But there are times that I wanted to quit, but I'm not going to quit, because survivalists never quit. And I'm actually now more fired up than I've ever been to do this show. I'm more excited. And as we go into 2010, ladies and gentlemen, we have got some serious challenges. And I'm telling you, if the recent events on Christmas Day, I think it was on Christmas Day, when we had the attempted terrorist attack on a Northwest Airlines flight from Amsterdam to Detroit, guy wanted to blow up the plane. I'll be talking more about that a little bit later in the show. If that's not one of the constant reminders, ladies and gentlemen, of why we need to do this, then I don't know what is. And if people still are not woken up, I'm wondering whether they're really ever going to wake up. Anyway, got a little off track there. Again, I'm not going to quit doing this show. I'm more fired up than ever. So, with that said, let's get involved into the topics for today's program. I want to start off by playing an audio clip for you by a well-known author that has written a book called When All Hell Breaks Loose. His name is Cody Lundeen, and I've got his book on order. You've heard me do previous shows about Shoestring Survivalism by Andy James, another really good book that you need to read, and also, Cody Lundeen, an excellent survival author. So I'm going to play a little audio clip for you. I'm going to warn you about something. You might need to turn your volume up. For some reason, sometimes when I download these audio clips, the volume is very low. So you may need to turn your volume up. It's about 7 minutes. And he was interviewed in a Seattle TV station recently. I want you to listen to this interview. He was basically giving us all some very good basic survival tips. And folks, it all starts with the basics. Being successful is not doing extraordinary things. Being successful is doing ordinary things extraordinarily well. And I think Cody Lundeen tells us how to buy and find ordinary items and how to use them extremely well to be prepared for whatever might hit us. So again, turn the volume up a little bit. Listen to Cody Lundeen on a Seattle TV station recently, and then I'll be back on shortly after that to read some posts by all of you. Have a listen.
As emergency scenarios play out around the world, earthquakes, wildfires, and floods, we're reminded once again that we ourselves are not immune from disaster. Emergency preparedness experts have been telling us for years to have plenty of food and water on hand. But what if things totally hit the fan? What if we have no food or water? What if somebody dies in your home in the middle of a disaster? Recently, Lowell Deo went out with survival guru and author Cody Lundeen. He tells us what to do when all hell breaks loose.
I have never felt more petrified going to the supermarket. Some people shop for supplies. Some shop for satisfaction. But Cody Lundeen and I are shopping for survival.
So Cody, I'm looking at a bunch of cat food. Is this how we're going to save my life?
Not initially, but eventually I do recommend the Fancy Feast.
The author of the newly released book, When All Hell Breaks Loose, Stuff You Need to Survive When Disaster Strikes, says the difference between surviving the next crisis and succumbing could be on the aisles of the nearest grocery store.
I see chlorine down there. Let's go talk about water disinfection.
From bleach that will help make water safe to drink, to plastic bags that will help you handle a corpse, to rat traps that could provide your next meal, Cody ain't your father's survival expert.
What's the first thing we'd have to do to survive?
The first thing that's key is regulating body temperature. So
if Cody looks familiar, you've probably seen him teaching survival tricks on national television shows, like Today and Dateline NBC.
This is power.
And you make it look easy.
Now it's your turn.
Yeah, well, now I'll make it look hard.
But Cody is leaving the wilderness behind him, at least for the day. He's in Seattle, getting me ready for the big one.
Okay, here's what I'm talking about. Sodium hypochlorite, 5.2 or 6%, regular household bleach.
Okay. Chlorine is the wonder chemical you need to have close by in case of the next earthquake, volcanic eruption, terrorist attack, or any time your only available water source is contaminated.
And how I would use this is for a one-quart bottle, which I happen to have a quart bottle right here.
I'd use
2 to 4 drops per quart of this and let it sit for 30 minutes. Now,
Cody says a slight bleach smell in your water won't kill you. You need that smell to know that your water's safe. But don't throw that bleach away just yet.
And this is multiple use, Lowell. We can disinfect after a corpse in the front yard. You know, you can use this in your portable potty in the backyard.
Come again?
We can disinfect after a corpse in the front yard.
Cody says when disaster strikes, expect dead bodies. Your survival could depend on how you get rid of them.
Ah, plastic bags. Okay. Worth their weight in gold. Let's check these out.
What do we need with plastic bags?
Plastic bags. I mean, multiple use. Again, check this out. Here we have this brand name freezer bags. I can improvise these as mitts. Again, if I'm moving a dead body or dealing with fecal material because of alternative sanitation, I can actually store water in them.
Cody says, don't scrimp. Brand name freezer bags have thicker walls and provide better protection. Oh, and get some lawn and grass bags while you're at it. We'll tell you why in a bit.
Now look at this here. We have this entire picnic area of stuff. Paper plates, paper bowls, paper cups.
In the meantime, Cody finds some items that will save you precious water.
What's going to happen in a disaster situation when you're eating weird food or canned food or whatnot, water might be at a premium. Water belongs in your body first to regulate core body temperature. It takes a lot of water to do dishes, especially in my country because I'm from the Arizona desert. So just having some picnic supplies on hand where you can get rid of the plates and not have to use precious water that may or may not be disinfected is worth its weight in gold again.
So what goes on those plates?
But check this out. Rice and beans.
Rice and beans may not be glamorous, but they pack complete proteins and carbohydrates for energy. They're easy enough to soak and cook over a backyard pit, and they're cheap.
But this is free food. I mean, what is this? You know, $2-3 for this? And this can feed a family right here for 2-3 days, depending on the amount of people in the family.
But survivors can't live on rice and beans alone. Next on the list are tuna and cooking oil.
So, okay, here's a brand I always get.
Oh, wait. Man, that's in the pouch. That's not going to keep as long. Let's try one of these cans.
I know what you're thinking. Who remembered to stash a can opener? Not a problem, as you're about to see. Besides, this can and some cooking oil are going to shed some light on your desperate situation. Okay, so time for checkout. Almost.
So, looks like the last thing on the list is mouse traps. So I gotta say, I do feel a lot better.
Good, the blood pressure's down. Let's learn how to use some of this stuff.
Remember those lawn and grass garbage bags? Turns out you can use them and bits of old newspaper to make great shelter.
That's pretty good. That's pretty warm.
It's very warm. So
why is that?
It's dead airspace. Dead airspace keeps the cocoa hot, keeps the Kool-Aid cold. It's insulation.
And remember that can of tuna I didn't want because there's not a can opener in sight? No problem if you have a rock or chunk of concrete to break the seal. We use the curb right outside the QFC, and 2 minutes later...
Okay, let's see if it's ready. There might be a little bit of grit in our grub, but ooh, voila.
And here's the neat thing. Take the empty can, the cooking oil, and some corded napkins, and you've got the makings for an instant candle. Cody Lundeen says preparing to stay alive isn't that hard.
Less than 7% of Americans are prepared for a disaster. Less than 7% are ready for something happening to this country.
He says a little preparation now could save you some uncomfortable decisions later on. Remember the rat traps?
Okay, rats a lot like duck, except with a delightfully nutty flavor. I think you'd really dig it. Mice, on the other hand...
But this is serious stuff. Cody says if you don't have traditional food, you need to survive. And that means knowing how to prepare a rat.
Kill the rat, skin the rat, just like you would an elk or whatever, and then gut the rat. You can eat all the organ meats. You want to check for the kidneys and the lungs, make sure the rat is healthy. Get rid of all the intestines. You'll actually see rat poop up in the body.
Then just cook the rat on a stick over a fire. And don't worry too much about diseases like hantavirus. The fire should kill that. Cody knows you may not do everything he says. That's fine. He just wants you to decide right now what you will do to keep your family alive.
This is basic common sense things that every family should know or have on hand to mitigate a disaster.
Wow, what did you think of that? Eating a rat? Well, to each their own. I'm not going to eat very many rats. I suppose if I had to, I'm sure glad I heard that, because then I can think about how I'm going to cook that rat next time I need to. Anyway, the can opener trick is an interesting one. I'm going to post a link to this video that was also posted on YouTube, and I want you to watch him do the can opener trick. However, I would strongly suggest that you stash at least a couple of manual can openers, even in your bug-out bags or your travel emergency bags. You know, you can get manual can openers for a few bucks. Go get those now and store those. I've got those in my bags. But anyway, I hope you enjoyed that audio clip. Cody Lundeen, his book, When All Hell Breaks Loose. And with that said, and that audio clip played, let's get on to some of the posts by you, the listener. Now, the first one I want to start off with is a new member. And he actually put his name publicly on the forum, so I am assuming since he put his name publicly on the forum that he doesn't mind his name being shared. His name is Spencer Baker, and his screen name is LCDR Baker, and I am very impressed so far with what he's put on the forum. This post I'm going to share with you is talking about exercise and about fitness. It seems like that's pretty much his specialty, and I'm going to be looking at his website quite a bit. I will let you go to the link. I'm going to put a link to all of these posts in the show notes, so you'll be able to go on to todayssurvival.com and look at the show notes underneath the podcast posting and see the link to all of these posts. But let me share this with you as he talks about fitness. He says, I'm a big believer in any exercise is better than none. And the idea that there isn't really a one-size-fits-all plan or diet. I agree with that, by the way. What leads to success in most cases, as illustrated by you, Bob, is a plan that you enjoy enough to persist. You may have recalled in one of the previous shows that I did, I talked about a personal trainer that I hired 2 or 3 years ago. This is me paraphrasing, by the way. And that trainer was one of the best investments I ever made, because he taught me that I had to do something, once again, practical, that I was going to do regularly. And he made a comment a couple of months into the training. He said, Bob, he said, you are one of the most regular people that I have seen come to this workout facility. He says, your strength is not so much your ability to do all the exercises, but the fact that you're in here on a regular basis like clockwork doing them. And I think that's what Mr. Baker is referring to, because that's the key to success. So he goes on in his post, he says, an additional resource that is well worth the time is www.fitnessrocks.org. which is also a podcast streamed on iTunes. Dr. Monty Ladner is a retired physician who reviews current scientific journals and literature for items of importance regarding wellness, exercise, and living a healthy lifestyle. Again, www.fitnessrocks.org. I'll be checking that site out a lot. He then translates the findings into plain English. I like that. You know, I like the findings translated into plain English. I'm a practical, non-technical kind of a guy. To me, that's good. And he says there's a strong element of disease prevention through diet and lifestyle. Isn't that a survival topic? You know, this is something that doesn't get talked about much, folks. Disease prevention, healthy diet, healthy lifestyle. So many disasters you can prevent by living that way. And Mr. Baker says, I admire the quality of your website, your podcast, and your forum. This is by far the most comprehensive and least radical survival show I have found, and I appreciate your hard work. Very respectfully, Spencer Baker. And he was talking about this show. Thank you, Mr. Baker. Welcome to our forum. And thank you for your nice compliments. I will continue to keep this a show that you feel comfortable listening to. This next post I want to share with you is from one of our listeners from the UK. We've got a few international listeners to this show. And this gentleman that goes by the name of CX on the forum, he's talking about New Year's resolutions, and he says, you know, it's almost the time of the year when we make some resolutions and then break them again 2 weeks later. I love that. Isn't that true? I see myself in that comment. He says, I wondered if there's anyone that has any resolutions in mind. Maybe lose some extra weight, so if you ever need to shift your butt, you can. Personally, I want to lose some weight, but more importantly for me is organizing my preparations better. They seem to be very hit and miss at the moment. I can relate to that. Food is bought, but with no particular goal or order, or any record keeping of what I have is pretty much non-existent, and I'm going to have to go back to the drawing board to see how to go about doing this better. I may need to post a thread with a few refresher questions if that's okay. Certainly, CX, that is perfectly okay. You don't need to ask permission to do that. Go for it. I would like to do a lot more cooking outdoors, even if it's just in the garden with the basics. I'm going to do more to promote preparedness in my local community, too. Boy, I like that. You're going to hear from another post, another member of our forum, on what he's doing to promote preparedness in the community. And as I've said before, whilst many will think I'm nuts, I would hate to think people could suffer through a relatively minor crisis just because they didn't prepare. That's about it for me, I think. So, how about you, CX? You know, what I'd like to say to CX about that post is a way to go as far as promoting preparedness in your community. And who cares what people think? To all of you listening to this, who cares what people think? You know, I don't want them to think that we're nuts, because we're not. We're not radical people. You know, you heard Cody Lundeen say that less than 7% of Americans actually prepare for anything that might go wrong. Isn't that ridiculous? You know what's scary about that? 93% of the people haven't prepared, and those 93% are going to be part of the problem, ladies and gentlemen. Who cares if they're radical? They may not think that you're so radical when a disaster hits. And I'm not just talking about major disasters, folks. You know, the stink hits the fan every day for somebody in this country, or in this world, actually. I'm serious. It happens every day. Every day somebody loses their job. Every day somebody is afflicted with a disease. Every day somebody in this country, some child goes through a collapse of their parents' marriage. Every day, unfortunately, somebody loses a family member to death. Every day, ladies and gentlemen, somebody dies in a car accident, or they're severely injured and they're disabled and their life changes forever. Every day somebody embarks on a journey, whether it's a hike in the wilderness or whether it's a simple family vacation and they're taking a long drive, and something goes wrong on that journey. And folks, every day the crap hits the fan. Perhaps somebody is injured and there's no one there to immediately render first aid except for some civilian or some former paramedic or EMT who has been well trained and saves their life. Common occurrences like this hit the fan for somebody every single day. And the question is, are you ready? So we're not just talking about all these far out wacko conspiracy theories. We're talking about things that can happen every day. So who cares what anybody thinks when you're trying to motivate them to mitigate some of these disasters that could happen to them. Thank you for the post, CX. I very much appreciate all of your excellent contributions to the forum. And to you over there in the UK and in Britain, you're our brothers and sisters over there, and we wish nothing but the best for you. Okay, this next post I want to share with you is by another new member. I think the screen name is Avedon. I'm not sure. I screwed up with my show notes here, and I wrote down the post here, but I didn't write down the poster. I think it's Avedon, and I'll put a link to it anyway in the show notes so you can go back and reference it later. But this person writes, I'd like to go back and listen to older podcasts, meaning of this show, which are no longer listed in iTunes. I see that I can download them individually from your website, but was just curious if there is an easier way to do this. I'm not savvy with iTunes, but I'd like to try to trick it to load older episodes so that I can sync it to my iPhone. That would be ideal. I guess another option would be a zip file of the older MP3s, but this may overload the website's bandwidth. Thanks for your show's information. It's both entertaining and informative. To that poster, hey, thank you for that comment. As for the older shows, actually, what happened was I didn't set up an iTunes account till about episode 6, I believe. So the first 5 episodes are not on the iTunes feed. And I'm technically challenged, folks, so I don't know how to get those older shows on iTunes. I'm going to work over the next week or two to try to figure out how to do that, and I will send you an email when you are able to do that. In the meantime, if you just go to the main website, todayssurvival.com, and just click on the MP3 link that is a link to the podcast, you can right-click it and click Save the Link As, and then you can download it that way, and then I've actually done this, then you can actually transfer it over to your iPhone, import it into your iTunes music library, and then it'll put it onto the iPhone. That's the only way I can think of for you to do it right now. Sorry about that. I wish there was an easier solution. If some of you techies out there that know how to work real well with feeds and iTunes, if you know a different solution that I can give this person, please throw a comment on the forum, send me a private email, or put a blog comment on there, and let's see if we can help this person out. But thanks for posting that. The next one that I want to talk about is by a forum member named Tough Times, also the winner of our Survival Activists Club, recently talking about gold and silver investing. I think you're going to find this a good post. I'm going to paraphrase. It's a little too long to read the whole post, but this is marvelous information. Tough Times writes, commercials to invest in gold on the radio and TV, they say we need to secure our portfolios with gold. If you look up the prices, you think there's no way to get involved in buying gold now. As preppers, we've read that it's a good idea to have some on hand before the stink hits the fan. So, what's your definition of gold and silver? And what is it worth? Gold jewelry is going to be worthless in trade, and gold bought from the trading houses are held in reserve on paper are also going to be worthless. Now, I agree with the part about the gold jewelry. That's going to be relatively worthless because there's a lot of people that just aren't going to know what the value of some of that stuff is. Tough Times writes, only coins will be trusted. Gold coins or silver, pre-1965, in any condition, will be far more valuable than bullion chunks. Coins in hand are portable, readable, measured, authentic, and good from any country. These coins will not be backed by any government, like our dollar is, right? Backed by a bankrupt government, or a bankrupt that's soon to be bankrupt. The United States government. I'm paraphrasing here, folks. Tough Times didn't write that, but I'm throwing in my own stuff here. They are valued for just what they are, meaning the gold coins. A pre-measured valued asset in metal. Barter will be the fare of the day if the stink hits the fan. And you know, that's so true. I did a show on bartering. I got another show coming up on bartering. I'm going to expand on that topic. So important to know. But adding a few coins to the deal, the barter deal, will assure that you make the trade. Adding a few coins into the post economy of your immediate trade area will also add currency into the hands of those people who didn't plan ahead. And you know, speaking of bartering, absolutely, coins are going to be tremendous bartering items, especially the, as Tough Times mentions, the pre-1965 coins, because it's easy to figure out what they're worth. They have a value. You know, they're gold and they're silver. They're pure gold and pure silver, and people are going to know what they're worth. It's going to be much harder for somebody, or probably be much more reluctant for somebody to take a bullion in on trade in a barter situation, because most people are just simply not going to know. You've got to remember, you may be bartering with people who have not prepared. They have not been paying attention all along. They don't have a clue what gold bullion or silver bullion is worth, but they do have a good clue what that coin is worth. And they may be able to look it up pretty easily, what that coin is worth. So in a barter situation, it's going to be a lot more valuable for you. Excuse me, folks. I'm a little distracted there. A couple of semis boxing me in on Interstate 35. Ugh. The fun of doing podcasts while you're in your vehicle. Anyway, Tough Times continues to write in the Post, and I'm going to wrap this post up here pretty quick, but if you ask the average person what they think about gold, they picture a pirate's treasure full of chains and goblets and bags of nuggets from a miner, or they picture big heavy bricks at the mint. When they see a coin, all they can come up with for a value is just a little above face value for vintage sake. And Tough Times references a YouTube post, which I'll put a link in the show notes. And I'll share just a little bit more of the post. And if gold and silver coins are not in your budget, better be checking with Aunt Betsy or Grandpa now to see if they have some pre-1965s in a fruit jar somewhere that maybe you can trade for a little bit of work. Excellent post, Tough Times. Good things to think about for those of you wanting to add gold and silver to your portfolio. Okay, this next post I want to share with you is by a member named 40 Cal Joe. And you know, you've heard me talk a lot on this show about mindset. The reason I've talked a lot about mindset is because, number one, it's free, or at least very low cost. It doesn't cost much to change your mind, folks. All it takes is an open mind, because your mind works like a parachute. It functions best when it's open. And it doesn't cost anything to open your mind and soak in knowledge from people. And I love this post from 40 Cal Joe about mindset. He writes, preparation should be an ongoing state of mind. A continuation day after day of tweaks, fixes, and changes to the amount and the type of preps necessary. I'll use the Marine Corps as an example. Once basic training is finished and the recruit is handed his or her Eagle, Global, and Anchor pin in front of the two Iwo Jima, in front of the Iwo Jima Memorial and is called Marine. For the first time, training continues throughout your tenure in the Corps. Folks, that's a lot like life. That's a lot like any profession. Most professionals, no matter what they do, never stop training. Even in the field that I work in, many of the customers I call on have to attend a certain amount of CEU courses throughout the year. Continuing Education University is what that stands for. And just to keep their license to do business in the security industry, they have to accumulate a certain amount of CEU credits. Physicians are constantly going to courses. They're constantly training. It's the same with the Marines. It's the same with any branch of the military. It's really, folks, ladies and gentlemen, it's that way for anybody that wants to be good at what they do. Constant training is important. So you're right on, 40 Cal Joe. You are constantly training as units, performing your day-to-day job and personally growing to be better than the night you jump off of the bus at Paris Island. You don't just sit back and say, what next? Why else would the military spend so much time and energy in training and drill? Because when the stink does hit the fan, the response as a Marine, sailor, soldier, or airman is near instinct, because all the preparation completed prior to that event now takes over. So, no matter whatever you have just started, no matter whether you've just started your preparations or are an old experienced hand at it, you never stop evolving in your constant quest to get it right. That last sentence pretty much sums it up. Thank you, 40 Cal Joe. And I can assure you that I'm never going to stop in my quest to help people get it right when it comes to preparing to live a better life. Okay, folks, let's take a brief intermission. I'm Bob Main of today's Survival Show. Listen to just a couple of minutes worth of music here, and I'll be back on again with some more posts from members of our forum. Here you go.
She was staring out the window of their SUV, complaining, saying, I can't wait to turn 18. She said, I'll make my own money and I'll make my own rules. Mama put the car in park out there in front of the school. And she kissed her head and said, I was just like you. You're gonna miss this. You're gonna want this back. You're gonna wish these days hadn't gone by so fast. These are some good times, so take a good look around. You may not know it now, but you're gonna miss this. Before she knows it, she's a brand new bride in her one bedroom apartment, and her daddy stops by. He tells her it's a nice place. She says, it'll do for now. Starts talking about babies and buying a house. Daddy shakes his head and says, baby, just slow down, 'cause you're gonna miss this. You're gonna want this back. You're gonna wish these days hadn't gone by so fast. These are some good times, so take a good look around. You may not know my own. One's 36, one's 23. It's hard to believe, but you're gonna miss this. You're gonna want this back. You're gonna wish these days hadn't gone by so fast. These are some good times, so take a good look.
The next post I want to share with you has been put on our forum by one of the members who goes by the name of Word Warrior. And this post was in response to the original poster, who happens to be my 11-year-old son. And my son's been worried about a few things lately, and Dad has not been able to help calm most of or all of his fears, as a few of his fears were still there. And so he asked if he could get on the forum. And by the way, folks, I have educated my son and I have warned him that sometimes there are people on the internet that don't always have good things to say or good things to post. So I've warned him in advance about some of the spammers on our forum that I'm trying very hard to keep away, and I'm going to be improving some parts of our forum early next year to keep some of the spammers off. But with my coaching, he gets on the forum every once in a while, and he speaks his mind, and he was worried about some of the things that's going to come up in the future. And so in response to some of the anxiety he had about some events that he thinks might be happening in the near future, Word Warrior gave my son one of the best responses I've read in a long time, and it goes like this. He writes, "I understand your concern. It is normal to be worried when people make these assertions. But when you think about it, with all of our modern technology we have, we cannot even predict the weather 3 days in advance. God has made us to live right here in the present, one day at a time. Satan loves to ruin our present by distracting us with the fantasy of what could happen tomorrow. We do not plan out of fear. Fear is nothing more than a powerful drug that helps us to react quickly to a life or death situation. Beyond that, it doesn't have very much usefulness. There are some things that we can change and some things that we cannot. We can do smart things like the ant does to prepare. The ant can't stop winter from coming by worrying about it. Isn't that true? How many of us listening to this show right now can stop anything from happening by worrying? Worrying is a wasted emotion, ladies and gentlemen. So Word Warrior continues by saying, "Let me leave you with some advice and some words to live by. Don't be alarmed by fools that make predictions. And use this prayer to find peace. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change those things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Live one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardships as the pathway to peace." Folks, let me share something with you. You know, as I've mentioned before, this is not a religious show. And all religious beliefs are welcome at today's survival show. So if you don't agree with everything just shared in that post, that's okay. But I think there's some very valid arguments in that post to be made about worry and about fear and why we prepare. So whatever your religious persuasion is, whatever you feel that God is, that's okay. I hope that nothing said on this show or on our forum offends you. We have another member that goes by the name, screen name of LV Mutineer from Las Vegas. And recently he put a post on there stating that he's a liberal and that he has some liberal views. And one of the subjects that he was talking about was having guns in the home. And he pretty much put a different kind of a post on there, you know, quite a bit different than what we're used to on our forum. And I'm glad he did. I welcome posts like that. And he presented some arguments from the other side of why people don't own firearms. And they were very valid points. And I'm glad that LV Mutineer did that. So I encourage, as I've mentioned before, whatever your differences of opinion are, let's hear them. It makes for a good show. But I hope that that response from Word Warrior spoke to you. It really helped my son, and it really addresses a lot of good stuff about fear and worry. Okay, this next post I want to share with you by one of our listeners and forum members by the screen name of RavenWolf31. And the subject was about training and what type of courses that we're looking into to improve our lives. And Raven Wolf wrote about, she says, I'm looking to do a GPS course. Found a place that does them for free coming in January. Might be interesting to try. Something new and something interesting. And thank you for posting that, Raven Wolf. You know, a GPS course, not something that I've ever thought of, and I think that's great. You know, I have been involved in the past in geocaching, which is, you know, sort of using a GPS. And even though it's kind of a game, it's it improves your orienteering and GPS skills, mainly through instruments and instrumentation. And, you know, geocaching is a lot of fun, and there's a lot that you can learn from that. If that's the type of GPS course, or if that's the type of event that you're thinking about getting in, or even if it's a course on using a GPS in the wilderness, can't go wrong with that as a survival tool, can you? So thanks for posting that, Raven Wolf. Appreciate that. And speaking of Raven Wolf, another good post by this person. Raven Wolf also writes, have at least three different ways of starting a fire. Talking about what to keep in your emergency bags and your bug out bags. So that if one way doesn't work, then you at least have some backups. Lighters, stick matches, and a magnesium fire starter. I also like blast matches. Go to YouTube and search blast matches. I think you'll find those are pretty good too. All kept in a plastic baggie. A good knife or two is also good to have. Some candles. I prefer the jar candles. Or a couple of tins of Sterno. And maybe some good kindling. And a change of clothes for everyone. Excellent advice. Check out our post. We got a whole section as to what to keep in your emergency kits. So thanks again, Raven Wolf. Another member by the name of Pigpen that I want to share a little bit of this post. I know we're starting to run long here, folks, but bear with me because there's some pretty good stuff here. Pigpen has been researching into buying another handgun. And I'm going to read parts of this post to you, and then I got a comment about this, because I think it's something that everybody, whether you're into survivalism or not, should do. Pigpen writes to another member on our forum, 40 Cal Joe. Pigpen writes, thanks, Joe. That's what I'm doing, a lot of research and saving money up for when I finally decide which way to go, meaning buying a handgun. In the meantime, I'm practicing with my 9-shot 22 caliber revolver. It's a good practice tool and a lot of fun also. And, of course, it's quite inexpensive. That's true. 22 ammo is very inexpensive and excellent for practice. I've seen a pair of ordnance model 7-shot 45 caliber for sale used near me for $329. I think that it's a very good price. It's at an Ace Hardware store with a sporting goods section. I've not gone over there yet, as I'm not quite financially ready to buy. But if it's as good as a buy as I think it might be, I might see if they will take half down now and hold it on layaway for 6 to 8 weeks. I'll be able to swing it easily than if it's a good gun. I know that there's little difference between all the centerfire handgun bullets in any reasonable caliber. That's true, Pigpen. There's little difference between those. And I talk about that in some of my shows over at Handgun World Show. But the trainer in my concealed carry weapons class was a firm believer in a big, slow-moving bullet, and his reasoning kind of stuck with me. As for the added expense, I won't shoot long before I'll have to begin reloading my own ammo, another good survival skill to learn. So no matter what caliber, it just makes good sense to me to reload. Of course, as for carry ammunition, I will stick with factory hollow points or some type of premium load that my carry gun will shoot reliably and accurately. And I say amen to that. Stick with good factory ammunition. I never recommend, under any circumstances, folks, do not carry reloads that you're going to depend your life upon. Too much room for error. I've even seen factory ammunition fail. Reloaded ammunition, in my humble opinion, has a greater chance of failure. But the reason I wanted to bring up that post by Pigpen is because you talk about a person doing their homework. I want you to go on the forum and read all posts by Pigpen. This person does their homework before they buy anything. In this case, he's searching for a handgun. If everybody did that kind of homework, if everybody did that kind of research and took that much care and effort into researching what they purchase, including me, I wish I took that much time and did that much research. I think this whole world would be a whole lot better place, and most of us would not be stung with so much buyer's remorse if we took the time and effort that Pigpen is doing. He doesn't want to make a bad decision. So congratulations, my friend. That's awesome. I think that's great that you're going through the necessary steps. Isn't that what survivalism is all about, folks? Isn't it about taking the time to plan? Most people don't plan to fail. They just fail to plan. Thanks, Pigpen, for that post. Okay, this next post I want to share with you really warmed my heart when I read this, because it pretty much fits the mantra of just about everything I talk about on this show, and it's the main theme of this show. And it's posted by a member by the username of Old Soldier. And Old Soldier recently wrote, "One of the local disaster surplus stores has asked me to do a series of classes on disaster emergency preparedness. My first one I hope to do on preparing for an emergency, basic readiness. So I'm running up a list for a 72-hour kit. I know what goes in one and have some pretty good resources for contents, but I'd like your opinions. Maybe Bob or someone can help set this up so that this will be a running list. So whatever is added will form a good list for me to use. Thanks in advance for your help." And some of the contents that he listed on there for a 72-hour emergency kit would be food enough for 9 meals, 3 meals a day, 3 days, a gallon of water per person per day, consumption only, baby wipes, first aid kit, blankets, sewing kit. And he writes, "This is a start. Please help me add to it." In other words, he was soliciting advice from other members on the forum. "The classes I'm going to give will be free to attend, and I'm not charging anything to the store to present these classes. Also, if anyone has any ideas for future classes, let me know. Your ideas will be appreciated." You know, first of all, I got to applaud, and I'm going to applaud loudly. This is awesome. I'm so glad to hear that Old Soldier is going to be doing these classes. You see, because there's very few experiences that you get in life, ladies and gentlemen, that help you prepare and help you learn a subject. Very few experiences better than having to teach it. And this is great. And the fact that, just like in CX's previous post, that Old Soldier is going to be doing classes on this and getting up in front of people and having to share ideas with them is also going to hone his skills in putting together that 72-hour kit. I might add to that list that you teach them to have something that will help them purify water, because carrying 3 days' worth of water could get pretty heavy. You know, if it's a gallon per person per day, that's over 20 pounds of water. That could get kind of heavy to carry around in a 72-hour kit. So if you got water purification tablets or a good filter or something like that, that's going to be, because the chances are you're going to be able to procure some water somewhere, but the water you find might not necessarily be pure, and if you've got a way to purify it, even if you use a little bit of bleach like Cody Lundeen mentioned in that audio clip, even that, carrying a little bit of bleach to help purify the water is lighter than carrying the water itself. But way to go, old soldier. You know, way to go as far as getting involved in community and spreading the word. That's awesome. Okay, this next post I want to read is by another relatively new member. I believe the screen name is Hilltopper. Screen name is spelled HLTOPPR. If I'm butchering some of these screen names, forgive me, but I believe Hilltopper is what this person's screen name, I believe that's what it's meant to say. Anyway, here's the post. My background is search and rescue and vehicle-dependent travel and exploration, both in four-wheel drives and on motorcycles. For the most part, my preparedness background has developed from years of wandering around in the woods as a kid, and now as an adult, search and rescue, guiding and adventure racing, and being able to deal with any situation that arises, be it a breakdown or a medical emergency. I just found out that there are a lot of folks called preppers, and I suppose what I've done for a while kind of fits in there. One thing I've experienced is that many basic first aid courses, such as those taught by the American Red Cross, as well as basic emergency medical technician, paramedic courses, assume that 911 system is activated and able to respond. And in the case of EMT courses, that a fully stocked ambulance would be at your side. Obviously, in many scenarios, this is problematic. Boy, I agree. I agree that EMTs and paramedics and ambulances are going to be severely overstressed and not necessarily by your side. So the post continues, whether it be a localized snowstorm or regional disaster, local EMS may be stretched to the max. Response may be hours away or days away, and this leaves you to be the medic. Wilderness first aid, wilderness first responder, and wilderness EMT courses assume that you are outside the golden hour most EMS response is based upon. While teaching the basics, as other courses do, wilderness courses focus on stabilization and evacuation for the long haul, hours or days away. Additionally, these courses teach the ability to improvise for medical use. Many items that would be commonplace in a backpack, vehicle, or vacation home, such as splints, neck, cervical spine, braces, stretchers, etc. My certifications are from the Wilderness Medical Institute of NOLS, the National Outdoor Leadership School, and I'm a believer in their curriculum. Very valuable info, Hilltopper. Your certifications definitely speak for themselves, and obviously just from that post. I want to hear more from you on this subject. This is excellent stuff everybody needs to hear. So thanks for posting that. Appreciate that very much. This next post, I just want to demonstrate real briefly by this next post, the huge variety of subjects that we have on our forum and the huge variety of topics that we talk about on this show. We even talk about cooking and recipes and outdoor cooking and so forth. And this next one I think you're going to like. This next member is Shadow61. And Shadow61 recently put a post on the forum. This is a recipe I got for making some camp bread. It's so easy, I can't mess it up. 6 cups of flour, 1 teaspoon of active dry yeast, 2 teaspoons of salt, 3 cups of room temperature water. Notice that there's no oil or sugar, just the ingredients listed above. You mix the yeast with the water and stir the salt into the flour. Then you pour the water yeast mixture into the flour and salt mixture and stir with a spoon. This will make a sloppy, stringy, wet dough. It sometimes resembles drop biscuits. Cover this mix with a cloth and set the container on the counter for 12 to 24 hours. When the mixture has set for 12 to 24 hours, roll it out into a greased cooking bowl or crock. The bread cooks better in a glass or ceramic dish and does not do well in a pan. Dust the mixture with flour lightly so you can roll it in the dish. It's a very soft, sticky dough and cannot be picked up. Once in the baking dish, let it sit for 1 hour before baking. You will bake this at 375 degrees for approximately 45 minutes or until golden brown, and enjoy. Sounds like some of my cooking at home. Anyway, you know, just good, useful stuff like this is such an excellent part of this show and the forum. Folks, you got to check this stuff out. Okay, just a few more quick posts, and then I'm going to wrap this up. This next one is from a member named Futan, P-H-U-T-T-A-N. All I could think of to pronounce that is Futan. I don't know any other way to pronounce that. And the subject here is about the global warming fiasco. Futan writes, what they actually measured is the effect of urban heat islands. There actually has been some warming. We came out of the little ice age. This is very good. It isn't man-made or the end of the world. Climatic conditions fluctuate. There are many overlapping cycles that repeat every few decades, about every 1,000 years, or about every 30,000 years, and probably cycles that take millions of years. It's like a sine wave curve on a larger sine wave curve on a larger sine wave curve on a larger sine wave curve. The Earth has been a giant snowball. The Earth has been completely without ice. Both could happen again. The Earth's climate is constantly changing. I believe in climate change. I don't believe in eco-wacko Al Gore worshipping man-made global warming, cooling, stagnating, or whatever they'll dream up next. Futan, I think that's great. I mean, it's just that's very well put. I think it's no secret now the majority of people in this world think that all this climate change being man-made is just a bunch of gunk. Thanks for putting that out there, Futan. I appreciate that. This next post is by M. Barnattle, guy I told you about who referred me or who got me started in establishing the chat room on our forum, talking about what to keep in your emergency pack. He writes, well, my daughters and I play several games. In fact, in each of our emergency packs, we have a deck of cards and a set of dice. With cards and dice, you can play several thousand different games. Another game we played when they were younger was I Spy. Man, I remember I Spy. Gosh, me and my cousins and my brothers and sisters and friends, we played so much I Spy when I was a kid. I'm 48 years old. That was a popular thing to do when I was a kid. It's a game that one person gives clue to an item that they cannot see and gives hints for others to guess. We also have Travel, Checkers, Chess, and Backgammon set. Another card game is Uno. Man, I remember Uno also. In fact, this is making me want to go try to find my Uno cards, and that's a good game just to get your mind off of everything. All the games we have, the deck of cards we get the most use out of. Get you a book of Hoyle and learn a few new card games. Remember that there is a card game for all ages, 6 and above, M. Barnattle. You know, one of the important things about this is, for those of you who are raising kids like me, it's so important to have entertainment for the kids packed in your bug-out bags and your emergency bags. You know, entertainment for kids and even entertainment for adults is so important. You may be in situations where you're going to have to pass the time for a long time. if you're in an emergency, it's so important to have that ability to do that. And folks, there's so much good stuff here. I'm just going to ask you to bear with me for just about another 5 or 6 minutes. But I got to put this out there to prepare this show for next year and to get you thinking about your goals for 2010. This next post, and the last one that I'm going to talk about, is by a forum member named DB Rideout. And responding to an episode that I recently did on wilderness survival. And he writes, while in the woods, walk with a walking stick, particularly if you are not in the greatest of shape. I gave an aging friend a collapsible walking stick last year because he was so unstable that I was seriously afraid of him falling. He loves it and is using it. I use one now myself, and it's helped me numerous times. You'd be surprised, three legs are better than one. Being hydrated before you go on a walk is very important. The best way to carry water is in your body. Of course, take some water with you, but like Bob said, be hydrated before you even leave for your excursion. Living higher up in Colorado with only 10% humidity, a person can become dehydrated before they even know it. I work at a location where we have hundreds of thousands of people visit each year, and most are not used to the higher altitudes and the dry air. There's a large percentage of them that suffer from dehydration each year, and most of them are not even aware of what's wrong with them. When in Colorado, always hydrate yourself and have a coat handy. Love this episode, Bob. DB Rideout. I think that was episode 41 or 42. I remember I did that one while I was stuck in a blizzard in Wisconsin. Anyway, thank you for that post, DB Rideout. Thank you very much. So, if I have not gotten to one of your posts, I'm sorry. There's no way I could do a show and talk about all the great posts out there. Hopefully this has kind of motivated you to get on our forum and read some of the old posts. Or if you're not a member, hopefully it's motivates you to sign up. So with that said, I'm going to bring this show to a close. And let me close with this, also courtesy of a post from one of our forum members, M. Barnattle, the 10 traits of a successful survivalist. And even though this is the 10 traits of a successful survivalist, I think this is just the 10 general traits of any successful person, period. If you're setting some New Year's goals, maybe a few of these might be part of your list. Number one, they have a thirst for knowledge. There's no such thing as knowing too much. Number two, they stay busy. Preparations are never complete. There's always something more that we can do. Number three, they use what is useful. There is so much written about preparedness, both in books and on the web. It's easy to suffer from information overload, but the successful survivalist realizes that all the information given does not pertain to their individual needs or situation, and that they must pick and choose from the information to formulate their own plan. I call this take the best and leave the rest, as my mentor Tom Hopkins taught me many years ago. Take the best and leave the rest. Whatever applies to you, take it and run with it and leave the rest. Number four, they find solutions. Instead of worrying about the problems, they find solutions. Number five, they stay calm. Number six, they take responsibility. We are responsible for our own survival and that of our family. Don't you wish more people would finally take responsibility? Number seven, they are persistent. Number eight, they're open-minded, as I mentioned earlier in the show. Number nine, they don't procrastinate. Do it now, folks. Don't even wait for the first of the year. Just start. Start right now. And number 10, they adapt. It's been proven that humans have an uncanny ability to adapt to their surroundings. The successful survivalist or successful person, for that matter, will need to be more prepared and more adaptable than most if they are to survive what is ahead. So are you a successful survivalist? And with that, I want to thank you for listening to episode number 52. I know it was long. And thank you for hanging in there with me. I hope that you have been able to get some good information to start getting you thinking about next year. Just doing this show has helped me. So again, this is Bob Main. This is today's survival show, where we help you harness the power of choice to live life the way you want to live it on your own terms. Teddy Roosevelt said, do what you can with what you have, wherever you are. Thank you for tuning in, folks, and we'll catch you next time.